Podmoth.
Boost contains adult themes and language. Listener beware. Hello and welcome to Boozed, where we get supernatural and shit-faced. I am your host, Camille Monet, and I am joined by my co-host.
It's me again, Sydney. Hello, Camille.
Hello, Sydney. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I am doing very well indeed. Thank you very much. I'm excited because this is our first episode as a member of the Podmoth Media Network.
Woo!
Whoop, whoop, whoop. So for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, we became a member of the Podmoth Media Network, which is a network of podcasts that focus on things like the paranormal and supernatural. And there's even some true crime tidbits thrown in there, which I love because, you know, that's like my first passion is true crime. So so we are now part of that network. And if you're interested in finding more of the great podcasts within that network, you can visit podmoth.network, and like moth, like the creature, the little flying butterfly-esque type.
The bug.
The bug, yes, thank you. The much easier word to describe, yes, Podmoth Network. You'll be hearing some ads in the future from some of the shows so you can get to know them, encourage you to follow them online, encourage you to follow us online. We're at Boozed Pod on all social media, and you can find us also on patreon.com/boozedpod. Shout out to our Patreon supporters. We love you every month, so generous. And I know I say this all the time, I am still trying to figure out what to do to show you my love and appreciation. I feel like just a big photo dump from back in the days where we could have guests in-house. So that's probably what's coming. It's just like a big photo dump on Patreon. So if you're interested in seeing some of the shenanigans that used to take place.
That'd be nice. We used to have so much fun.
We did. I miss it very, very much. So sad. So sad without it. So you can always join and get access to those and some other content that we do have up currently on Patreon. Again, that's patreon.com/boozedpod. And we'd appreciate the support. If not, just like, share, follow, subscribe to the podcast. All of that helps. We're out here doing our best. We would love to hear from you. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Let us know how you're enjoying the show now that we've kind of switched up the formula over the last, 6 months now or so?
Yeah, 6 months.
Yeah, about 6 months. Yeah. So, gonna be honest, it's not my favorite, but if you like it, that's all that matters, really, in the end. I just don't like it because it forces me to do the work that I was making other people do, such as researching stories.
Well, send us an email, guys, if you would like to be on the show. We do still accept guests, no?
Yes, we do. Yes,
so
we
do.
So
if you guys have some old or new supernatural stories of any kind, we'd love to have you on Zoom.
Absolutely. You can email us at boozedpod@gmail.com because why? Hashtag branding. Boozedpod everywhere you go. Except I think on TikTok. We're there.
We're there.
I don't know that it's boozedpod. I keep forgetting and I'm too lazy to look. So anyway, moving on. So what are you drinking today, dear Sydney?
I'm having, I'm back to wine because I do what I want.
You're an adult.
Damn right. And so I'm having white wine again. If you would like to know, yes, I have broken another glass recently.
Oh my goodness. Not the one I gave you.
No, it wasn't okay. That one.
Okay.
It was one of the other four, the replacement four.
Oh, okay. Great. So it was one I gave. Oh, so I got with that one. Gotcha.
I have three more of these plus the ones you gave me. So I'm good for a while.
Okay.
And if another one falls over, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. So
awesome.
The you know, the ruling is still out on the glasses thing. I still think I'm okay, but
we'll see. Mean, the depth perception does still seems off.
I think I just turn around too fast sometimes.
Is it? Okay.
I think so.
Turn around. Every now and again, I knock a wine glass off the table because my depth perception's off.
Okay, don't insult me with cover songs. What are you drinking tonight, Camille?
I have had a couple of old fashions. I went back to the Courage and Stone that I had talked about previously on an episode. So I didn't drink the whole, I'm not going to drink the whole bottle this evening. And I mean
this
it.
Time.
Not this time. So yes, just a couple of glasses of Courage and Stone, pre-mixed old fashioned, feeling good, feeling great.
Do you like all things true crime, paranormal, and everything in between? Are you in the market to listen to two disastrous best friends talk their heads off? Well, Future is Bright? Is just the podcast for you. Join Lindsay and Bridget every week as they discuss different stories about murders, kidnappings, haunted houses, and so much more. It's the perfect blend between terrible times and good vibes. New episodes every Tuesday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you listen.
Ready to get the story on.
All right. So what are we talking about tonight, Camille?
Tonight, dear Sydney, we are talking about the Sally House.
The Sally House.
Yes.
Okay.
S-A-L-L-I-E.
Oh, like Sally Mae, who you owe your student loans to. Got it.
I mean, I don't. Shout out to me.
I don't either. Shout out to us. Bow, bow, bow.
Living that loan, student loan free life.
Yeah.
Huzzah. Sorry to all of you people who aren't in that club.
Biden's getting around to doing something about it.
Hang in there. Here's the thing, like, we're the type of people who we've paid off our student loans, but we're not begrudging you loan forgiveness.
Because what does that do?
Why would we? That'd be horrible. I mean, why? I will say I would like if they would send me maybe $10,000 back.
Just like compensate us with what you're going to cover for everyone else.
And right.
That, you're going to spend that's it fair. Anyway. So
I think that's fair. Exactly.
You'd be spending it anyway. So just
stimulate my economy. That's what I'm saying as well.
Right.
By just, I mean, you don't even have to give me the whole, just give me like half of that. It's fine. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever. Anyway. Yes. The Sally House. She has nothing to do with student loans.
Okay, good. But no, they may haunt us.
It is just as terrifying though. That is for sure. All right. Along a quiet street nestled amongst mature trees sits an old brick house. It is like many of the houses along North 2nd Street in Atchison, Kansas. Its worn white brick and fading blue trim are indicators of its age, but little else is unique about number 508. In fact, it's very likely that you drive by it without a second thought. And you should drive by without thinking, without noticing, without stopping, and certainly without going inside. Because what lies inside of this serene, unassuming home could quite possibly kill you.
Well, you know I'm gonna drive by, but let's hear about it.
Built in 1867, the brick house at 508 North 2nd Street has had many owners over the years. Originally built for Michael Croman Finney and his family, occupants have come and gone, leaving behind traces of lives filled with joy and sorrow. In 1992, newlyweds Deborah and Tony Pickman moved into the home, hoping to create new memories as they welcomed the arrival of their first child. As the couple began to settle into their new home, they began to notice some strange occurrences throughout the house. Their cordless phone's battery always seemed to be dying, and reception in the newly appointed nursery was practically non-existent. There were lights that would flicker on and off or dim themselves, but as most people do, they ignored these small, seemingly innocuous events as just the consequence of living in an older home. Now, most old houses have wiring issues, right?
Sure.
It wasn't until after the birth of their child that anything worth truly worrying about would occur. First, there was the fact that their child wouldn't sleep. Now, this may not seem like anything out of the ordinary, as newborns aren't really known for their sleeping, especially throughout the night. They wake up a lot. But the baby was barely sleeping at all, waking up near hourly, despite being fed, changed, and comfortably placed in his crib. Then a neighbor inquired about why they left the lamp in the nursery on all night. Perhaps this was contributing to the child's lack of sleep. But Deborah and Tony weren't leaving the light on and suggested that the neighbor must be confused. However, the neighbor insisted that it was the nursery light that could be seen throughout the night. And then came the bear incident.
I'm sorry, what?
I just wish everyone could see your face as I tell these stories. It is so wonderful. I love like just how big your eyes get half the time. The bear incident.
Was not expecting a bear to enter the chat at any point, but do go on.
On July 14th, 1992, the family had just returned home after spending the day with Tony's family nearby. Tony quickly went upstairs to use the bathroom, and when he returned downstairs to the kitchen, he asked Deborah why all of the stuffed animals in the nursery had been put on the floor. Confused, Deborah asked what Tony meant. He again asked why all of the stuffed toys, which Deborah had carefully placed all around the nursery, were now on the floor. Deborah was stunned, and they went upstairs to the nursery, and sure enough, all of the stuffed animals were on the ground. Well, not just on the ground, but placed in the middle of the room, in a circle, all back to back, facing outwards. While certainly a bit disturbing, they reasoned that it must have been a prank by one of Tony's relatives or a random person who probably wandered into the house since they rarely locked the door. Right. Yeah. Again, I wish people could see your face. Yeah, right. Okay, sure. Random people coming in, moving teddy bears, right?
Sure.
Just that day, actually, Tony's sister had guiltily confessed to having gone inside the house that morning to drop off some items for the baby while they weren't there. And while an odd prank and wildly out of character, surely she could have done this with the toys while she was there. Puzzled, Deborah and Tony straightened up the nursery, turned off the light, and returned downstairs. Then Deborah decided to call Jeannie, Tony's sister, to ask if she had noticed anything weird while she was there and if she perhaps moved any of the items around in the nursery. Jeannie denied having touched anything, but she confessed that the entire time she was inside the house, she had a very uneasy feeling, and that that feeling had increased when she went up to the nursery, so much so that she left the house in a hurry. With Jeannie ruled out as the culprit, they decided that it must have been someone else, and while a bit odd and disturbing for a prank, there really wasn't another explanation. That was until they noticed that the nursery room light was on. They quickly returned upstairs to find that a teddy bear was on the floor again. Now, they are really freaked out and they decided to search the house, but they found no one there. They put the bear back in its spot, turned off the lights, and went back downstairs. About a half hour later, Deborah returned upstairs, and as she passed the nursery, she took a peek inside. And there she sees a teddy bear back on the floor. Now, Deborah and Tony think that someone actually is still in the house. And as they decide what to do for the night, they notice that another bear in another room has been turned around. And this time they know for sure that no one else could have done it. They both saw that bear facing forward the entire night, and there would have been no way for any intruder to move from the upstairs nursery to the living room where the newly turned around bear was without being noticed by one of them. With all of the logical explanations seemingly out the window, Deborah and Tony realized they were dealing with something supernatural.
Or the real life Toy Story.
There's a snake in my boot.
Thank you for doing that so I don't have to add it.
Someone's poisoned the water hole. The only Toy Story quotes I know, my favorites. Now, Deborah wasn't too worried about the potential of a ghost being in their home. She had actually harbored an interest in the paranormal since childhood and thought that the idea of a ghost in her own home was kind of fun. Tony, on the other hand, was a devout Catholic and didn't see the whimsy in any kind of spirit being around. He actually didn't even really believe in such things. But as they relay the events of the night before to a few family members, Tony's brother suggests that they get in touch with a psychic he knows. And Tony's mom reaches out to someone she knows who previously lived in the same house. When Tony's mom asked the previous residents if they ever noticed anything weird happen while living there, they said yes. They noticed some cold spots and an odd smell, electrical issues, and the kids' toys always seemed to be on the floor. And when the parents would ask their children to keep their toys put away, the kids would tell them that it was Sally who kept moving them around. Then the psychic that Tony's brother reached out to called Tony and Deborah from California and revealed that there was in fact a ghost in their home, a little girl named Sally. The psychic says that they needn't worry though, as Sally is friendly and is likely just excited to have a new baby to keep her company and to play with. The psychic tells Deborah and Tony that in order to keep Sally from becoming too overzealous, that they need to set some boundaries for her and admonish her when she moves things around without putting them back where they belong. But other than that, they can rest assured that Sally would do their family no harm. Questions?
How old is Sally supposed to be?
She's a little girl. Just under 10 for sure. From what I understand, I don't think they ever have an exact age for her.
Okay. And she's harmless, quote unquote.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just a little girl. Just a a friendly little ghost, like a Casper, female Casper.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, nice. Devon Sawa. It's
Devon Sawa.
If you had a crush with anyone with this haircut, take some ibuprofen. It's one of my favorite new memes. Mm. Yeah, good times. Good times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The day after their call with the psychic, Tony's other brother comes over for a visit. And Tony tells him all about what's been going on in the house, about the psychic and Sally, the ghost girl. George finds this all a bit amusing and takes out a camera and calls out to Sally, saying, "If you're in here, say cheese." As he snaps the photo, the bear from the other night turns around right in front of his eyes. That was the last straw for Tony. He shouts for Deborah to get the baby and they begin to leave for his parents' house. As they make their way to the car, Tony feels something that causes him to grab his back and shout in pain. But they press on, desperate to leave the house as quickly as possible. Once safely at their parents' house, Deborah inspects Tony's back to find blood coming from 3 long scratch marks. The family reaches back out to the psychic, who agrees to actually come to Kansas and take a look around the house in person. As the psychic, Barbara, inspects the house a few days later, she reconfirms that Sally is not dangerous, but perhaps was unable to control her emotions as she senses that Sally has some anger towards or fear of men. Barbara insists that the couple just needs to set firm rules for Sally, who she says can become a little petulant and bossy. She even suggests providing Sally with a few toys of her own to keep her from disturbing the other items in the house. Right, so you have a psychic coming to you, telling you, just buy the ghost some toys of its own.
Why didn't you tell me she had an attitude the first time that we talked to you?
You know, you just get a different sensation when you're in the space. I mean, there's only so much you can do over the phone.
Okay. All right.
You know, you can do readings over the phone, but I feel like if you're dealing with something like ghosts, I mean, she's a psychic, not a medium per se. So like, I feel like being in the space is a bit more conducive to an accurate reading.
Okay. So now we have to buy her her own teddy bears.
Yes. That would be nice. So. And that is what they do. Deborah begins to almost dote on Sally, giving her some crayons and paper and even her own doll. Deborah, wanting to let Sally know that she was safe and welcome, buys her a doll and carefully wraps it in gift paper and bows. She leaves it in a corner of the nursery that they had decided would be kept especially for Sally's use. After a few weeks, Deborah is going about her day and she enters the nursery to retrieve something she had forgotten just moments before. She briefly notices the gift wrapped box still untouched in Sally's corner, but as she turns to leave, she notices that a doll is laying in the crib. It was the doll that she had bought Sally. Out of its box, when Deborah goes to the gift in the corner, she finds it is still perfectly wrapped. Not even the tape has been disturbed, but the box is a bit lighter now. And when she and Tony open the wrapped gift later that evening, they indeed find it to be empty.
What's the husband's name again?
Tony.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I just wanted to verify that.
Okay, great.
I want to talk about, what's the wife's name?
Deborah.
We're going to talk about Deborah and Tony later.
Okay.
So please continue.
Cool. Months begin to pass and Tony and Deborah continue to live with the occasional odd occurrences in the house. Nothing else violent has happened since the scratches on his back. So he is resigned to just letting Deborah entertain Sally as long as nothing else harmful happens. That's not to say that nothing has happened to Tony during this time. He is hearing scratching in the walls at night, and voices seem to speak at him, building on each other into an almost deafening crescendo. Then on October 31st, 1993, Tony comes home to find a young girl in his kitchen. And before he can ask who she is, she vanishes. When he later tells Deborah about his sighting, he describes Sally as a young girl with short brown hair pulled away from her round face by a bow. She is wearing an older style white lace dress and has big blue eyes. Now, a number of things continue to happen in the house, including a small fire that seems to ignite spontaneously, and Tony experiencing what feels like small bites on his toes. He starts having violent dreams and waking up with marks on his body. He sees a woman walking through the house and follows her, thinking it's Deborah. And when he follows her into a room, there is no one there. And he then finds Deborah in a separate room of the house. And Deborah seems to not believe in what Tony is telling her about his encounters. She thinks that Sally is a kind little girl and that Tony is just suffering from sleep deprivation. Even the psychic continues to insist that Sally is safe. And in the summer of 1993, the Pickmans are approached by the producers of the paranormal TV show Sightings. They offer to come in with professional help to investigate what is really going on in the house in exchange for being able to film for the show. The Pickmans agree, hoping that finally someone can truly help them. During the filming and interview process, Tony is attacked multiple times. The film crew was able to film many of these occurrences as they happened. Scratches appeared across Tony's arms, stomach, and back. At one point, the camera crew just let the tape run on Tony and caught on tape the bizarre scratches that appear in front of their eyes. Over the several day shoot, Tony would be attacked again and again, leaving him covered in welts and bloody scratches. One instance of an attack left Tony with what appeared to be the letters M and C etched into his back. A psychic with the film crew begins to tell them that there are multiple presences in the house along with the ghost of Sally. One of the presences is that of a doctor, and based on the researchable history of the house, M.C. Finney, the original owner of the house, had a son who became a doctor and lived in the house for some time. And this brings us to a possible origin for the spirit of Sally. There is a local legend in Atchison surrounding Sally that says she was a young girl when she suddenly fell ill and began experiencing terrible abdominal pain. Her mother frantically rushes her to the home of the local doctor, Dr. Charles Finney. The doctor diagnoses young Sally as having appendicitis and being in need of an emergency appendectomy. He begins the procedure of administering an anesthetic, but as he begins to cut into her, Sally begins to scream in agony. For some reason, the anesthetic hasn't worked. And now the doctor must proceed with the surgery with the child fully awake during each agonizing moment. And it is there in his basement office that young Sally dies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the end of filming, the crew has no new answers or solutions. The Pickmans then allow a medium to come into the home to perform a cleansing. She identifies three spirits in the home, a man, an older woman, and Sally. The medium then asks if they would like to invite any of the spirits to remain, and Deborah immediately picks Sally. As the medium begins the cleansing, Tony is once more violently attacked. And while most people might have left, the Pickmans stayed in the home, partly because they couldn't afford to pick up and move so soon after having a baby and renting and furnishing the house. And Deborah also didn't want to abandon Sally after having established a motherly bond with a seemingly sweet young ghost girl. But as the days wore on, Tony's mental and physical state got worse. Unfortunately, the cleansing the medium had performed didn't seem to have any positive impact, and Tony continued to suffer violent attacks, and the voices he had heard continued to plague him. Even worse, he could now clearly make out what the voices were saying, and they were telling him to kill Deborah. There are two versions of the next story that I came across. Both of them involve Deborah coming home one day to find a dead cat in their home. One story details how Tony was attempting to finish some laundry while Deborah was at work, and he didn't realize that at some point in starting and restarting the dryer, because remember, there's electrical issues, that one of the pet cats had somehow gotten inside the machine and was killed. Another more gruesome story tells of a day that Tony walks into his kitchen to find a stray cat has gotten inside and is drinking milk from a nearby bowl. This, for some reason, enrages Tony to the point where he picks up a butcher knife and stabs the cat, killing it. Afterwards, he puts the bowl in the sink and goes calmly to watch TV in the other room. The thoughts of killing Deborah increase, and it is at this point that Tony becomes so fearful of what he may be driven to do that he now knows that they must leave this house. And a couple of days later, when an unseen force nearly pushes Tony over the railing of the second floor banister, Deborah finally agrees. Years later, the Pickmans now believe that in addition to the ghost of Sally, the older woman, and maybe Dr. Charles Finney, that there was actually a demon in the house. One that used the sweet child ghosts to lure people in and endear them to Sally, and then subjects them to demonic attacks and oppression. Even people who have lived in the home after the Pickmans didn't stay long. Now the house is owned by the state and is used as an attraction, and it's a popular hotspot for paranormal investigators, many of whom have picked up EVPs, experienced scratches, cold spots, and witnessed objects moving seemingly unassisted. And unfortunately, moving hasn't seemed to help the Pickmans completely escape the harmful presence of the Sally House. Tony still reports violent dreams, mysterious scratches and injuries, and near deadly experiences, including waking up with his clothes on fire and having had a butcher knife fly out at him out of nowhere. He also still feels drawn to go back to the house, and other visitors to the home have reported a strange, threatening presence remaining with them long after their visit. So, if you're ever in Atchison, Kansas, think twice before you visit the Sally House, because as another famous Kansan once said, there is no place like home.
My, people come and go so quickly here.
So that's the story of the Sally House.
So many thoughts. I feel like I want to start with this wacky relationship between Dharma and Tony.
Dharma and Greg?
No, not Greg. I was thinking about Dharma and Greg earlier when you said that she was like interested in the paranormal and he was a devout Catholic. Sorry.
Deborah and Tony.
Deborah.
Debbie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's up with Deborah not believing Tony? Like, why did Tony have to get his ass whooped repeatedly in order for anybody to believe him? And he's got to get a whole TV crew to film it for days.
So they kind of, so I got information from, and I'll link, of course, to everything in our blog, and I'll post this entire segment to the blog. But on the official sallyhouse.com website, and also using another podcast that talks about this case, Deborah and Tony kind of chalk it up to the fact that they do believe that it was a demon in the house. And this demon, I mentioned demon oppression, which is a little different from like demon possession. It's like a demonic oppression. They feel like it really just manipulated their emotions. Mm-hmm. So whereas Tony started to have thoughts that were violent and, you know, wanting to act on these thoughts, Deborah was made to feel oblivious. You know, she just was so hyper focused on her affection for Sally that it helped keep her blind to the actual dangers that were going on.
Because I wonder, was anything like happening to Deborah? Like, was she experiencing some like really good feedback from Sally?
I mean, as far as I can tell, I mean, yeah, her interactions were, it seemed from what I read and heard, like she just really only had interactions with Sally and all of them were positive. Like she felt very motherly towards Sally, thought it was kind of cool to have this like friendly ghost girl, you know, that she could kind of take care of and nurture. And, you know, not that she didn't see some of the negative things happening. I think it was more of just not wanting to, since they really only thought there was one ghost for a long time and that it was Sally, or that they were being told it was only Sally. I think Deborah had a hard time attributing harmful acts to Sally because she was in the mindset that this is just an innocent little girl. And that could have been part of like the demons or alleged demons influence, or just kind of her own naivete, so to speak.
Where do you think these scratch marks on your husband's body is coming from?
Well, I mean, the first psychic does say, well, it might have been Sally, but she may have just been, you know, like scared or, you know, panicked. And it might have more like an accident or acting out. That's why you have to set boundaries for her. Like, that's why you have to tell her that that's not okay, because she's just acting out. So, I mean, even if she thought it was Sally, I guess, like, I don't know. I think at some point, again, it was just kind of a disassociative, because the point that really seemed to him being violently attacked is when they had the confirmation that there were more than just Sally in the house. So then at that point, you can kind of say, well, oh, well, then that's not Sally. Clearly, that's whatever else is in the house. And not to say that then you should just continue living there and let the shit happen. Yeah. But you now have someone else to blame, and you can now still feel protective as Deborah. You can still feel protective of Sally and still want to stay there and be there with her while hoping, you know, the whatever other spirit is there will stop being mean. I mean, this is all theorizing, but like, you know, there's an interview with Deborah, you know, they still talk about this. They still speak about it. They do, you know, interviews and such about it, which had I known when I was researching, I probably would have reached out and see if she would have actually come on the show.
That would have been cool.
Maybe that's something we can hope maybe plan for future, like just see if she'd be willing to come and talk to us about it. But
she's not gonna like my questions,
though. Probably not, but you know, it's what she signs up for if she doesn't ask for money. I highly doubt she does this all for free.
But I want to understand why you were trying to raise this ghost child instead of listening to your alive husband.
And she again, so in an interview of hers that was online that I saw, she does have regret of not being more believing of Tony or supportive of Tony in his claims. But again, she kind of attributes that to whatever presence was in the house was influencing her. Because she's like, I don't know why I would have ever done that unless I had been influenced a certain way to do so.
Especially for the fact that he's still suffering from the dreams and stuff.
Yeah, from dreams and even some physical stuff still happening, which means whatever it is able to attach and kind of follow, because even other people who have gone to the house claim that afterwards they sense these presence and kind of like the out of the corner of your eye type of thing. Like there's something always there, but I can never see it.
Mm-hmm. And again, I say again, why are you doing this, people? Why are you going places terrorizing and also looking to be terrorized? You gotta go home with scratch marks on your stomach and things like this when you could just let the state own the house and leave it alone.
So ghost advocacy corner is now another part of this show.
Yeah.
So yeah, next time you go to Kansas, just
don't go out there.
Protest in front of the house and see what happens.
I'm not going out there. They don't want you anywhere near that house. So we will not be taking we'll advocate from online for this particular attraction.
We'll build a hashtag.
Respecting Sally, respecting, what did you say his name? MC? That was the doctor's son?
MC was the original owner. The doctor was his son and his name was Charles.
Okay. Yeah, at first I was like, is it the toys? Could it be the toys moving themselves? I was almost hoping that was the case.
No, it's not Toy Story 8. sorry to disappoint. That would be amazing if that's Pixar's next storyline, though, for that franchise, is like they come alive to murder.
I mean, they did get pretty dark in that, like, Toy Story 3, I think.
I didn't see it.
It got dark.
So I've heard. But no, there was another story. I think it was on the podcast that I listened to that describes, and I found it so funny because I had something similar happen. Well, not similar, but adjacent happen, where they had a toy that was meant to record sounds and play them back.
Mm-mm.
And one day there were sounds on the toy that were like random. I think it was like random laughter and random speaking and just like things that there was no way could have been recorded without, you know, the parents being aware. Cause like if there's people talking, if there's people laughing, like the parents being there would have heard it. It would have had to have been like people they invited over or whatever. So there was this toy that then just started playing back all these random noises. And so they felt that that was, and it just reminded me of the Teddy Ruxpin I used to have. And those things were, there was a setting on them that allowed you like to record and play back what you were saying.
Yeah.
And I used to sleep with it and I rolled over on it one night and it started playing. Whatever like was the last recording or the tape that was in it, it started playing. But since I was like laying on it also, I was like, shut up, Teddy. And then it recorded and repeated back to me, shut up, Teddy. And then this went on for like two or three exchanges of me like yelling at this bear half asleep and the bear repeating what I was saying to it, and until I just took the bear and threw it across the room.
Look.
And I have hated having any kind of bear or toy that like talks since then.
No, I'm a sound recordist. I would never buy a toy like that. First of all, that's terrifying. I don't want you. That's a listening device. That's all that is.
It is very much a spy device. A
listening device for your child. And why are you needing to spy on your children? But yeah.
Well, because kids are shady as fuck.
I know they're shady.
You have to spy on some of them sometimes. But yeah.
Well, the whole getting the doll out of the wrapped gift without unwrapping it trick is, I mean, I guess I feel for Tony, to be honest, because like you go into this not even thinking any of this is possible, and I'm assuming he's not doing anything to agitate Sally. He's just sort of existing in the house.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to necessarily interact or not interact with her. He's just kind of like, well, it's Deborah's thing, whatever. Just,
yeah.
Deborah takes care of it, and I don't say anything.
And I'm getting the lashes.
The beating, right, exactly.
Very odd.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, they're still married, assumably happily.
That's the part. Honestly, I was surprised by that. I was going to assume that Tony had left her.
Reasonably, right. So. Like,
if you want to live with this ghost child, fine. But
me and my baby getting the fuck up out of here.
Also, sure. Weird that I didn't hear any more about their own child and what was happening to their baby. It seems like Deborah just started raising the ghost child. And I don't know who was raising the real child.
Who needs a real baby when you have ghost children? That's what I'm all about. I think on the official website, which, by the way, seems to be mostly run by Deborah.
Mm.
So it's a lot of kind of like blog posts recapping what happened. So it goes into a lot more detail. Between that and some other things I read, there was like conflicting stories, like the thing with the cat. Like on the blog, it says that the cat was in the dryer. On the podcast, it says the cat was stabbed. So I don't know where the podcast got that story, either from like a document. It says like Tony actually said in another interview that he stabbed the cat. I didn't see that. I might have missed it, but I didn't see that on the official website run by Deborah. So who knows? Maybe she tried to leave that out for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But there is a post, all that to say, there is a post on there, and I didn't read it, but if you're interested, again, I'll link it in our notes, that talks about like the kid's first birthday. So, I mean, the baby's still around. Nothing seems
okay.
Nothing major seems to happen to the baby, though.
The baby was left alone, even though the baby still had to be in the nursery.
Like, share a room with a ghost. Like, you gave a part of my room to a ghost.
And my toys.
Now, to be fair, we tried to give her own toys. So,
well, I mean, Camille, what I took away from this was, even if you move into a house, even if you don't have kids, you might end up having to raise ghost children. And now I've got to go buy them toys so that they'll calm down. I've got to set boundaries and rules for them. It's like having an actual baby and you can't even see it. So,
I mean, but at least you don't have to like feed it. I feel like it's cheaper overall, though.
Definitely cheaper. I mean, we're gonna have to take Tony to the pharmacy every week to get more Neosporin.
A couple of trips to the ER maybe, but that's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine. You'd do the same if you had kids, right? Like, if you have children, I assume you're gonna end up in the ER at least once in 18 years.
I don't know why I'm like, I guess I get fixated on these, like, when this is a married couple, this is a shared experience.
Mm.
If he is like over her running this website and like keeping this up as he's continuing to like suffer from nightmares and shit about it.
I mean, from everything that I kind of saw, I think I like Googled a few pictures that were a little bit more recent, like on Facebook or something, about, some meeting or whatever. I don't know when the last time the website was updated, but again, kind of like the other story with Betty and Barney Hill.
Yeah, that's what it made me think of.
Yeah, it does seem to be very much still driven by her, mm-hmm. or by the woman, the wife. So yeah, that's kind of up for some speculation, like just kind of like he would probably prefer to just, I think for, especially for him in this case though, like if you continue to encourage it, it's almost like you're wanting the attacks on you to continue.
Yeah, so, because the attacks are on him,
right,
and not her.
So yeah, yeah. So maybe he's like, well, if the attacks are going to happen, they're going to happen, but I am not going to partake to the point of it seems like I'm encouraging them.
But you were never encouraging any of it.
Right. I mean, so why would you start? That's my thing. Like, okay, this is just going to happen to me. Then fine. She can go do whatever she wants, like always, and not have to really suffer consequences. And I'll just be, because it seems like whether or not she has a website, it's going to happen. So why not have a website?
Oh, Tony, get a therapist, man. Come on. Tony.
Set some boundaries with both ghost and your wife.
Tony, you've got to talk to her. That's who I want on the show.
Is Tony free to chat with us? Because we want to
ask
some very specific questions of that man.
When did you say his clothes caught on fire? That's when they were living in the house or when they had moved?
There was a fire that spontaneously happened while they were living there, but then after they moved, he woke up once with his clothes on fire.
That is unacceptable. Like, you can't put a website up when my clothes are aflame.
But how will the people know that you've...
We already did the episode of the show.
Yeah, and you can find clips of all of that. It's like on YouTube.
Did you watch them?
I watched a little bit. It is very much like a 90s sci-fi investigation show, like very early days Unsolved Mysteries. So it's a little difficult to watch just for the quality of it.
A lot of
like pseudo shaky cam, weird right. angles, a lot of like long, just like holds on people when they're not talking. So it's a little weird to watch, but you can watch that all there.
Did you see Tony getting attacked?
I saw like I didn't really watch that much because I also did all these notes today, of course, again. So I was a little pressed for time. But there was scratches that they showed on camera, of course. So I didn't see the whole like uncut segment that the other podcast described. So maybe that's something to for the listeners out there to kind of go and investigate themselves. I just always love like the comments though under any of like the videos or articles are just being like, we all know this is fake. This has been proven fake forever. EVPs are nonsense. It's like, okay, just it's meant to entertain you. Chill. Whether it's true or not, it's entertainment television.
All right.
So maybe as long as it's not negatively impacting your life personally, maybe just take a chill pill.
Yes.
Let people enjoy things like ghosts.
But don't go enjoying ghost scratches at their homes.
Yeah. Don't go to the house. I feel like, you know, the guy definitely who was renting the house, I think he just ended up giving it to the state because it had developed this reputation after the TV show. So it really became more of a hassle than anything yeah. else. And so Atchison, from what I kind of heard and read, it claims to be the most haunted city in Kansas. There is another podcast that goes really deep into like the history of the town itself, the area itself. So there is some, of course, speculation that it's because it's on a native burial ground. Mm-hmm. That whole area, you know, used to be very pro-slavery, used to be the land of, you know, indigenous people, and that possibly some burial sites of the indigenous people have been disturbed. Of course they have, because they all have, right? So possibly, you know, that age-old tale as old as time about an Indian burial ground being the cause of the curse, right?
Right.
So there's a bit of that. The other podcast, I'll try to remember where it was, and maybe I didn't listen to it all, but I'll see if I can't find it and link to it, because I want to go back actually and listen to it, because it does seem to go into a lot of kind of like history and background, and they interview a few people, and I think they actually interview Deborah as well. Mm. So, yeah, it's interesting to say the least. You know, it's one of those things, again, like it's kind of a modern ghost story.
Yeah, it felt very, you said this was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's not a lot that was found about the house having any kind of activity before the Pickmans came up forward with this story.
Hmm.
So once again, you know, you're faced with that. Was this a claim for fame? And I'm still like, you know, especially since Deborah said, you know, well, I have always had an interest in the paranormal. But at the same time, there were certain things like the scratches showing up on the TV interview. Like, unless everyone was in on this thing, like, how does that happen?
We've got to talk to Tony. I felt like you could talk to Deborah, but really none of the things that like matter are happening to her.
True.
The real meat of it is happening to Tony. So it's odd to me that so much of it is from her account.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Tony.
Tony, if you're out there listening.
Tony, like a famous Kansan did, you need to click your heels together 3 times and get the hell out of there.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, his lack of participation, I don't know if that's from... That's what, to me, makes it seem like this is probably not for fame.
Mm.
Unless it's like she doesn't believe him and it's just like easier for her, because none of it's really happening to her. She can kind of just
right
talk about it, and it's really affecting him, and he's trying not to participate as to not
perpetuate
make it worse. So
I mean, what do you think you would do? Like, let's say, you know, you've moved to this new town, you know, you have this new house. It wasn't a new town to him. I think he was from that area, but you move in, nice new house. You're excited. You've done all the planning and preparation, and you get there and suddenly you have ghosts. You're infested with ghosts. What do you think you would do? Because I always like kind of thinking, like, I know I've said before, it's like, no, I'd leave. Like, I don't care. I'll take out a new credit card, buy, you know, get a hotel room for a few weeks until I can try to make up some money again. But it's a weird situation to be in.
This is one of those, like, not that I feel like this is going to enter the mind of every new homeowner, but like, it is a question you're going to have to ask. Like, what if you are hearing things or like sensing things in your house, and you've done, it's a long process, I know, of like getting a home and closing on it and all of that. So I think when I hear these stories about these things happening and people deciding to stay, I just chalk it up to the fact that like, it probably took them forever to finally get this house.
Yeah.
And I love it, and this is the one, but I didn't get to spend any actual time in it, so I didn't know all of this was gonna occur. But for me, it'd be tough. Like, maybe I could go stay with someone else, but like, I still own this home. There's a ghost in there. Maybe I
like, at this point, maybe you just try to rent it to someone else.
Rent it out. Like, maybe I would try to see if I could appease them. I feel like I always hear about when people do get new houses, they like make sure they go in and they sage the whole house, and they open up all the windows and kind of try to clear the space, which I'm a huge fan of. I will definitely be doing that. But I think I would try at least to like make whatever presence is there feel welcome. And if it's not gonna work out, then yeah, maybe do rent it Airbnb. Airbnb.
Airbnb. Yeah, I will say, I don't know if I mentioned it, like this was a rental house. So they were kind of, not that they were necessarily trapped by like having just bought a house, but they definitely had like a rental contract. And I don't know how you break a rental contract by saying it's haunted. You know, like,
no,
we can't live here because it's haunted. And you're like, no.
I don't want to hear that.
Right. But your rent still due.
And you are not getting that deposit back.
Exactly. Like, you didn't disclose that there were ghosts there because they're not. But yeah, anywho,
like a famous Kansans once said, pay no attention to what's going on. I'm just going to keep.
You're going to keep roasting me on that. That's fine. I was trying to create an atmosphere, do a thing. But that I should have just left it for the blog post, I suppose.
As a famous scarecrow once said,
if I only had a brain, I
would have. They took my legs out and they put them over there. And they threw it over there.
Oh, gosh. Oh, well, dear Sydney, anything else? For our Sally House story.
I just feel like you said you would leave. And again, if it's a rental, I understand that. But like if they owned it, like what are you actually going to do?
Well, yeah, I mean, but I think the solution is to rent it out to someone else who doesn't know what the hell they're getting into, and then trap them into a contract.
I've already moved all my things into this. Like, I was supposed to be getting settled with my family.
But that's one of the things with the movie Paranormal Activity that I was just like, this is some bullshit. Because I'm sorry, there's no way all of that happens and I still go to sleep in that house.
So you walk into your kitchen, mm-mm, all your chairs are like standing on top of the counter and all your cabinet doors are open and you're just like, I'm out.
You know, I gotta go. I don't. Once all the logical is eliminated, yeah.
Yeah.
And you're looking at what video, I don't know if in the movie they played back the videotape of her like walking around at night, but it's like, no. I can't imagine. I guess because I know I have somewhere else I can go.
Yeah.
I know there is somewhere else I can go with, you know, I might lose some money, but do I want to be possessed and or killed by?
But suppose it's following you now. Like you've already said, it has an attachment.
I feel like it has an attachment when you engage and continue to remain there. So if I get out soon, hopefully it won't have had time to attach as fully. Now, if I go somewhere else and it's still there, then I just have to figure out next steps, right? Okay. So let me get out of the demon's reach as far as I know. But if it's still there, then we can start talking to some other people and seeing what I need to do to get right. And at the end of the day, then I think after that, if there's really no solution, then you go to the bargaining and the how do we get along and coexist all the way up to the extreme of like, well, I guess life's over. Thanks. I do not want to be haunted and attacked for forever. No, thanks. Kudos to that man for sticking around, because
I my heart goes out to you.
I wake up and I'm on fire, like just after a nap.
I'm on fire.
I don't like
what else do I need to say to you?
I don't like naps enough to begin with, but if I wake up for one and I'm on fire, that's
it's not even like that. I wake up and my clothes are on fire from a nap. Then I got my wife saying, I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, she's pretty sweet. Like, maybe you're just overreacting and your clothes are literally on fire.
Let me blog about this. Saying,
I'm overreacting, but I'm going to go start a website.
You know, they're the power of love. I'll post a picture of them on the blog as a couple. They're Please. Like, it's a very, there's a very 80s photo that they had up on their website.
Yes.
And I think I saw a somewhat recent picture of him. He looks like a baby. He looks like a probably, if it's a recent picture, he looks like a much younger person than he probably is. Mm. But yeah, yeah, it's a wild story.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, Sydney, where can the people find you on the interwebs?
The people can find me, as always, on Twitter and Instagram at SydNPlay, SYD_N_PLAY. I still don't have a username on TikTok, nor do I have any videos, so there's no reason to follow me there.
You're just a lurker.
I just lurk.
Well, you can find me at the Camille Monet on all social media. And you can find our new parent company, our new network hosts. I don't know what to refer to them as. It's
our new podcast family.
Our new pod fam. Yes, at podmoth.network to learn more about Podmoth Media and the other shows within the pod family. And you can always also find the podcast, this podcast, at Boozed Pod on all social media and at boozedpod.com. Please take some time this week to share the show with a friend, with an enemy, with a lover. Send us a review on Apple Podcasts. We got a new one recently. I was so excited. We've got a new one after like months and months. So please feed my ego before the demons take me and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Give us a follow. Give us a like on social media. You can find everything at boozedpod.com as well. Thank you, as always, dear listener, for joining us. And we'll see you next time. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. Wear a goddamn mask. Get vaccinated if you can. And we will see you next time here on Boozed Podcast. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Get boozed.
Thank you for listening to Boozed. Our theme was composed by Vincent Parrish. Sound production is done by Sydney Johnson. You can find us on social media at Boozed Pod. That's BOOSED Pod. If you would like to support the show, please go to patreon.com/boozedpod to make a contribution. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, get boozed.